I've said a lot of foolish things in my life. I once met a woman whose name was Sunday, and she came up and she said, "Hi, my name's Sunday." And I said, my name is Justin, because I was about to say in my mind, my name is Monday. And she was not happy because she could see I was about to say something funny, and then I became serious. And then I thought later, of course, yeah, you know, she's probably being made fun of during her life because of her name. Well, we've all said things we regret. We've done things we regret. We hurt people. We've sworn at them. We lie to them. We use them. We ignore them. We poke fun of each other. So what can we do if we never see them again? How do you make up for it? I'll never see Sunday again. I met her in New York. But I wonder if she knows how badly I feel. And of course she doesn't. One of the absolute worst things in the world is when priests hurt someone in confession. Now, considering the amount of times that people go to confession, it's actually very statistically a rare event, but it happens. And some of you have told me it's happened. And I don't think it's ever done intentionally. It's usually, there could be a misunderstanding, but you know what? The main reason why people will get hurt because of a priest in confession is because priests are sinners. And I've hurt people in confession. And honestly, when I think about it seriously, and if I realize I've done it, I feel absolutely horrible. And the weight of that is actually crushing. And you parents, you know what it's like. When you hurt your kids through your own fault, it's horrible. Jesus gives us a parable about authentic prayer today that's going to give us some hope for healing. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." Now, there are four problematic qualities to his prayer, and we want to avoid this in our own prayer. First, the phrase, "the Pharisee standing by himself was praying thus," this is translated by many as, "the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself." So he's actually not talking to God. He's just talking to himself. It's not real prayer. Number two, he compares himself to people that are worse than he is. You ever do that? Yeah. What's the point? There's no merit in comparing ourselves to people who are worse than we are. Number three, he thinks fasting twice a week and tithing will guarantee him God's blessings. They don't guarantee God's blessings. Those are expressions of love. They are good, but they don't guarantee life is going to be easier. And number four, we know he attributes his good qualities to himself because Jesus says that this parable is for those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And then the parable continues, "But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Okay, so now here we see real prayer, and we want to just focus on three insights of authentic prayer, and we want to kind of imitate them in our own prayer. Number one, did you notice that the Pharisee and the tax collector, they both have the same posture of praying? They're both standing. That's your traditional Jewish posture of prayer. Okay, so they're both doing the same thing. So what's the difference between their two prayer? The inside. Okay, so one's proud, the other is humble. Jesus says at the end, "I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other, for whoever humbles himself will be exalted." So he has really great humility, the tax collector, and the humility is what justifies him. And justified means you're considered righteous in God's sight. Number two, okay, so he's got the inner, but what about the outer? He has outward expressions of prayer. It says that he was standing far away from the temple. He didn't even look up to heaven. And he's beating his breast the way we do at the beginning of Mass. So all these externals. So these external expressions of prayer, they go against, you know how some people say, "I don't need to do all those Catholic rituals. I don't need to light candles or kneel down or use rosary beads. I don't need to go to confession or Mass." Well, you should. Because those are expressions of authentic prayer. You just like when we love someone, we show external signs. You give gifts. You spend time with them. You use words. You hug them. The inner is always expressed externally. And it actually helps us also to pray. Because when we, for example, if I want to relax my mind, I relax my body, because they go together. Now, if I want to pray really well, it's very helpful to take an outward expression of prayer. It's important to do something externally that will help the inner. And number three, the tax collector focused on God, not himself. His simple, honest prayer says he needs God's help. Okay, so these are the three qualities of prayer that all of us want to imitate. You want to have the internal humility, you want to express it externally, and you want to focus on God. So what I'm going to do now is I want to teach you about spontaneous prayers, and we want to take these three qualities of prayer and apply them to what's called spontaneous prayers. What are spontaneous prayers? They are short vehicles of grace that we use in our daily life. And they're usually, the words are so short, the prayer is so short, the words are so key, that what they do is they get us right to God. And what you want to do is, you want to repeat these prayers slowly, over and over again during the day, and they'll bring you closer to God. I'll give you some examples. So first, Hail Mary, full of grace, help me find a parking space. It works. Now, let's go to the tax collector's prayer. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we can imagine he's probably praying it very slowly over and over again. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, this prayer of the tax collector has been expanded into what's called the Jesus prayer. This famous prayer says, Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is extremely popular in Eastern Christianity, especially in Russia. Russian Christians pray this. They learn to pray this over and over again. And this is called the royal way to prayer. Because if you start praying this, and you pray it with an awareness of God, you pray it with faith, you can really get into seriously deep prayer. And I hope you can all start doing this. So the idea is you don't pray it in a mechanical way. You say it in the way that you'd say, I love you, to someone you care about. You say it with sincerity. Now, if we do this a lot, it's not going to become casual, but it will become common. You know the difference between common and casual? So common means it happens all the time. Casual means it's unimportant. And when you do things very commonly, there's a temptation to become casual. Don't do that. What you do is you keep on meaning what you say, and that will keep I love you from being routine. Now, if you grow in this practice, you'll notice you'll start saying it in the car, when you're walking, when you're taking a break, when you're doing the dishes, when you're even in the bathroom. And as you keep on growing, the prayer will start simplifying. Instead of saying, Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, sinner, you're going to start just saying, Jesus, mercy, Jesus, mercy, Jesus, mercy. And then eventually you're going to even shorten it even more. You're just going to say Jesus' name over and over again. Father Robert Spitzer, in his great book, Five Pillars of the Spiritual Life, he gives us 10 examples of spontaneous prayer. I'll go through them with you right now. First one, help. That's a good prayer. Really simple. Can you remember that? You can. Too long? Okay. Number two, the Hail Mary. Three, Lord, may good come out of this suffering. Four, offer it up. Five, I give up, Lord, you take care of it. Six, Lord, I accept your forgiveness. Seven, may good come out of whatever harm I might have caused. Eight, Lord, you are the just judge, you take care of it. Nine, prayer for enemies. 10, thy will be done. Okay, so these examples, they show us the kinds of prayers that we can make. And what Father Spitzer says is, all of us are supposed to build a toolkit of spontaneous prayers. And what you have to start figuring out is, which are the spontaneous prayers that help you? I want you to start thinking about that, because all of us need to have the spontaneous prayers we keep on using whenever we need them. So one man, he adds this prayer. He says this always in triplets. He always says, come Holy Spirit, come now. Come as you wish. Come Holy Spirit, come now. Come as you wish. One prayer that I pray a lot, I just say, peace, Lord, peace. Peace, Lord, peace. Because I need it. And one woman here who has anxiety attacks, she often says, my God, my Lord, over and over again. And she says it helps.